But I don't.
I got my podcasting robe on.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
You wear a robe to podcast?
Well, this is the second time I've worn it. I can't remember when the first time was. I hope it's good.
How do you know it's your podcasting robe, then?
I'm currently podcasting.
Oh,
I
see.
It's very sweaty in here, but, you know.
Is it floral? Were you a bridesmaid at one point?
It's heathered, I guess. I would say.
Heathered?
It's got a heather.
So you were a bridesmaid at one point. Who was Heather marrying? Hashtag, we're getting heathered. Oh, I was able to come up with a whole bunch of little bits about that whole heather thing.
You feel good about yourself for that?
A little. It's a little bit. I'm trying to pat myself on the back more because I hear it annoys people.
No, I love it.
Yeah, it's great.
Oh, thanks, guys, for being supportive. Good job, me, for having good friends.
It's annoying. It's fucking obnoxious. Wait,
what'd you say, Mike?
I said, that's annoying.
Fucking obnoxious.
Yeah. Welcome to Instead Of, a hypothetical podcast with Josh Harrison, Tappan Johnny, and me, Mike Bogart. This week, Tappan is editing for the first time, so we're sorry.
Guys, guess where I'm recording from?
Your home, your bedroom.
Where? Oh.
Chicago.
Is it?
I don't know. It was one of the few times you had to say your mom's house and you didn't.
Oh.
Oh.
Shit.
Yep. Good old mom's house. I live here now. I live in Chicago. I drove from Seattle in a very checkmark way. I went down the California 101 and 1 and then cut across to Las Vegas, Denver, and then ended up in Schaumburg, Illinois.
What an itinerary. You saw the whole country.
I did, and the country is gorgeous, by the way.
That's like bucket list stuff for some people.
Is it? That's great. Well,
so, well, not where you ended up, not moving back in with your mom, but like...
Well, for now, I'll leave. It happens to be the basement, I know that. But I'll get out. I saw a whole bunch of cool things, but honestly, if I can make one road trip recommendation, go see wherever you want. Everything on the journey will be wonderful. But if you can pepper it in with people you like along the way, like people in the cities that you get to see or that you get to come across, there's honestly nothing like that after a drive, just seeing a friend. Like, just do it. It's a great thing. Kudos to all the people who made that road trip 100 times better. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You.
Yeah. Hey, no problem.
Yeah. Actually, Mike did. Mike did. Anyway.
Well, I was at the start.
He sent you off.
I gave you the gas.
What I was saying.
I made you gassy.
What I was saying was about neither of you. But when I was in San Jose, I did come up with an idea that I thought we could discuss.
Okay.
Okay.
So in San Jose, I stayed with a family member. Shout out to Nero.
Shout out.
But the night before, I had stayed in a farmhouse like in Oregon somewhere in an Airbnb. It was really cool.
That does sound cool.
I'm going to read this as I wrote it because I remember when I wrote it, I was really feeling inspired.
Let's hear it.
Wow, that was a really loud sound of agreement from Mike. Okay. Ready?
Ready.
And please come in with your questions throughout the pitch.
Okay.
What if instead of a 5-star review system like we're all used to, we had a 6-star review system where the 6-star represents something like truly phenomenal or whatever, like something exceptional. But hang on. Mm-hmm. I know you're thinking it's just another star. Why not have 7 or 36? And here's why. When you click it, you find it's the only star that requires a confirmation click with a message that says, quote, do you, and then it says your name, consider this to be a truly exceptional product? If so, click the six star again.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And then you click it, and it's followed by a unique six-star animation that you don't see when you give any other review. And the thing is that you are what makes the difference this time, and I think this could really help us, like, properly tease out shit that's, like, that, like, buy it for life incredible product shit from, like, five-star products, which would still be excellent, and we'd all understand what we meant. What do you think?
I think that's good, and now I'm trying to think about what would make a six-star experience for me. At like a hotel.
Well, forget the hotels, just anything in life. Have you ever had something where you were just like, that was, you genuinely feel that was beyond what I thought they could do best?
Probably, but I'm still on this hotel thing. I know what would make me give a six-star experience to a hotel, and that is a hot chocolate dispenser in the night table.
Ew.
Lying in bed. God. Just get like a nice cup of cocoa. Only, just sip it from bed. Yeah.
Hot chocolate only.
Well, and marshmallows. They would like come out.
You want a marshmallow dispenser?
No, he wants a s'more both. Station. But like, the thing I don't get is that in like 40 seconds, Josh completely ruined my idea. Because if he gives that a six... then that fucks everything up for everybody.
It's very subjective.
Why?
Yeah.
I don't think people want squirting hot chocolate by their bedside, man. Not the way you do, and I get it, but like, jeez.
Well, isn't everything all subjective?
I guess, yes. But like, generally, we trust each other in big trends. These sixes are going to be like serious. We're supposed to take them serious.
Hmm.
I'm very serious about that. That would be my ideal experience.
No, I know. That's the thing. The sincerity in your voice is what's making me realize that I had totally underestimated, you know, my fellow man and their ability to just be themselves, I guess. So, you know what?
Yeah.
Idea scrapped. I'm killing it. Maybe. I'm out.
Okay, I have a different one. This one actually happened.
Okay.
Me.
No, Josh, it's okay. I've given up on this.
Well, now I want to take this and I want to... run with it.
It's not a six-star idea, Josh. Don't you see?
Well,
the
maybe
system
I wanted...
proved this failed.
Maybe I wanted... okay.
You're the system.
I fucked it up.
But that's okay, because now we know that we can never have beyond five stars.
Okay. Well, I guess... So then I actually... am a six-star person then, because I enabled you to know that six stars is a bad idea.
I think that makes you a one-star person, but that's just me. And again, that's why the system failed.
No, because if I was one star, then you wouldn't have learned anything.
I was much...
You learned something valuable.
Much happier in that ignorance. I wanted to make the world just a place one star greater. And you taught me five is too many, four is too many.
That's what I think, yeah. I think we need one star. Yes or no.
It might just be yes or no, do you like this product?
This does simplify it down to like elementary school where you either get the gold star or you don't.
On or off, yes or no. Gold or bad.
But now I have to ask, gold or bad, I have to ask, by salvaging this idea... what does that mean? Is Josh still remains a one-star person, but now it's a positive thing?
Yeah. Right? Please?
I feel like this is one of the most like convoluted conversations we've ever had, but I'm still following it.
I'm right there with you, yeah. One star.
So Josh is not bad, is what we've settled on.
Josh is not bad.
Hopefully.
No, don't worry, buddy. You're not bad.
So yesterday, I went to the zoo to see a bird.
What? One bird?
I went to go see a single bird. I went to go see Andrew Bird perform at the zoo.
Oh.
Yeah.
Turn nice play on words. Did you see other birds?
What's it? So, like, some birds live at the zoo, but then, like, other birds just, like, are at the zoo.
I would say other birds are either A, not yet captured, or two, not very pretty. And that's the truth of what's at the zoo.
Damn, dude.
That's how we decide, people.
So I went,
Mike,
because Adam...
I feel like I ruined zoos for him.
No, go on.
So I went to the zoo to see the one Andrew Bird, because Adam, shout out to Adam, had an extra ticket.
Adam.
Shout out, Adam.
Yeah, and also your friend and former roommate Mike was there too. Shout out to Mike.
Oh, Mike, I miss you. Mike and Suzanne, I miss living with
you guys. And Suzanne was there too. Shout out to Suzanne.
Shout out, Suzanne.
Reunion.
Mike, Adam, friends.
Yeah. But so, like, it just felt very fitting to me that I was seeing Andrew Bird at the zoo. And so it just got me thinking, like...
You're really harping on this point.
Well, it got me thinking about what other bands would be good to see at a zoo. Like, you could see, like...
Pause. Before we go down this alley, Mike, do you think he just keeps telling us about Andrew Bird and the zoo because he's doing some sort of magic trick in the background and this is, like, the distraction?
That is what it feels like right now. This sounds like patter, yeah. What are we being led to believe?
Okay. What are the other bands that would be at the zoo?
And Jeer. I don't know. Like, Flock of Seagulls would be good.
Nice.
To see there. Yeah, you could see
Animal
the gorillas.
Collective.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's just the name of the zoo.
Yeah. If an animal escapes, you could cage the elephant. I don't know. There are, like, a lot of different things.
If the animal escapes, would normally the elephant roam free at your zoo?
Well, shit.
Yeah. I don't know.
What are you going to do?
So my instead of seeing Andrew Bird at the zoo, what is the most coincidentally fitting place that you've seen someone or something? And if you don't have one, feel free to just make it up.
Okay.
If we don't have one, lie, or if we don't have one, tell you.
No, no, no. No, like, make it up. Be like, you know, what I would really love to see is blank at the blank. Mm. I guess it would be kind of interesting to see...
Panic at the Disco?
That's, yep, exactly.
Yeah. That was a very apparent thing. I wanted to stop you from saying that real quick. That's called a joke block. I'm trying to think of bands that I've seen and then venues I've seen. Yeah. For some reason, my brain keeps going to Dave Chappelle, but, like... What would be his house, like, natural habitat?
I saw him at the Omaha Hilton. I saw
He didn't. I saw him at the Moore Theater in Seattle, a real place.
I was there, too.
Yeah, you were. No, but that doesn't have a thing.
Chapstick? Chap?
No. I'm leaving that behind. Although, okay. I am...
So Dave Chappelle putting on
a
chapstick.
Could happen to anybody.
Can you name someone and then we'll try to come up with a place where we would enjoy seeing them most, or a thing or a band, anything, first thing that comes to mind?
Lewis Carroll.
Okay. Now we gotta figure out where to see Lewis Carroll, everybody.
He's dead, right?
In the mirror, yeah.
What? So him in the wardrobe is kind of what you're trying to see? Did he write that? He wrote that, right?
No, he wrote Alice in Wonderland.
He wrote Alice in Wonderland. Who wrote Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe?
C.S. Lewis.
C.S. Lewis? Yeah.
And your guy is who?
Lewis Carroll.
You can see the confusion, right? I thought the C might have stood for Carroll and the S was a comma. So it would be saying, C.S. Lewis, I saw him in a wardrobe.
Yes.
just hanging out in a wardrobe. Good call, though.
You're, like, secretly jealous.
Those little laughs always mean that Mike is, like, almost at the point of vocalizing an idea.
Maybe. I'm percolating.
That's like a wrestler name.
The Percolator?
Nah, man. The wrestling gimmicks are different now. I'll tell you about it later. Nobody wants to hear about it, I found out.
I've been telling you that for years.
I fucking love wrestling. If anyone out there loves wrestling, I know that it's, for some reason, it's a bad thing to admit, but if you like it and you can understand how crazy of a variety show and like a vaudeville act it really is, and the fact that they're touring, just hit me up. I would love to talk wrestling. These two goons won't let me.
Who's your favorite wrestler? Stone Cold Steve Austin?
Of all time, it used to be Bret the Hitman Hart.
Where would it be weird to see him? Church?
Well, it was Bret the Hitman Hart, so I guess performing like an execution somewhere.
Classic Hitman.
Hitman. What else? No, if he was singing a song on like a stage and then he changed Hitman to like a space in the middle. So he's Bret the Hitman Hart and like
nothing but
just belting out tunes.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. That's much better than the previously sadder version. Can you imagine an assassin in hot pink?
It's kind of the opposite. You want to like be forgettable.
He doesn't want to be forgettable.
I know. He's nothing but.
You know, he's nothing Bret. His slogan used to be, my thing didn't even make sense, but I loved it. Listen, his slogan used to be, the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be. This is not a man trying to be forgotten.
Right.
Damn.
I know. Mike, so now I've given two things. What's your favorite book? Blood Meridian?
I was gonna say, what if you saw like Chipper Jones like cutting down a tree?
Okay.
Because he's a baseball player, Chipper. You know?
Yep. He could be at a dentist's office. Golf course.
Oh, Chipper Jones.
Lay's potato chips eater.
Yep. Always happy.
Oh, man.
Optimistic.
What was his real name?
Chipper.
Larry Wayne Jones.
Oh.
Junior.
Damn.
It's not. Is it actually Larry Wayne Jones Jr.?
It is.
He had the name Larry Wayne Jones Jr. and he gave it up to be Chipper Jones.
Yeah.
Did someone blackmail him? What the hell happened?
He got into a feud with a guy named Chip Jones. And he's like, no, I'm better.
Chipper.
Yeah.
Do they have an origin story on his Wikipedia page?
The three name thing is kind of serial killery.
Yeah.
Maybe Chipper's just his alter non-serial killer ego.
Don't you have a middle name, Mike and Josh? I don't have a middle name.
I have a middle name.
Let's see if you guys said your whole names. If you want to, you don't have to reveal your middle name. But let's see which one of you sounds more likely to, you know, go off the rails.
If Josh's is three syllables, I think he's going to win.
It's not. My full name is Joshua Todd Harrison.
Hmm.
I could see a killer Todd.
Yeah.
Mike?
Michael Andrew Bogart.
No, too refined to go on a killing spree, but a Joshua Todd Harrison wouldn't do it either.
Yeah.
He'd do the cover up.
White collar crime.
Yeah, that's you. Mike, have you been able to think of any place you'd like to see Chipper Jones? Forget about the coincidence. Where would you most like to see him?
I would like to see him in my living room having a beer with me.
So, so you walk into your living room and he's there?
Well, maybe I invite him over. Maybe he's not just there.
No. You get home after a long day at work, you unlock the door, flip on the light, and he's been sitting in darkness for who knows how long.
There's Chipper Jones looking at you.
Yeah, there he is.
And that was your preferred way of meeting him, right?
Yeah. Does he have a beer for me?
Do you want him to?
It's warm. It's been sitting out for hours. He thought you'd be home sooner.
He's not so chipper with me. He's
not so Chipper Jones.
I don't like that Josh has been trying to make that joke for 4 minutes, but I do.
No,
like
I haven't.
I do. Okay, whatever. But I do like that. Not so Chipper Jones could also be Nacho Chipper Jones. So that punchline, I guess, was worth being said. Nacho Chipper Jones.
Funny that we mentioned magic earlier. Because I just saw some magic.
Is it a funny coincidence? Or was it...
magic?
Magic.
I don't get it. I don't get why you're both laughing. What just... was that an inside joke?
No, I was trying to think of a word that was more like, was it the mystical arts or whatever? But I was trying to find something more concise, and all I could think of was magic.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. Oh, so I don't know about you guys, but I love magic.
Me too.
I think magic...
who doesn't like
magic's
magic?
Magic's awesome. I was watching this show called Magic for Humans, and this guy...
Wait. Uh-huh. By humans?
For humans. By humans no, as no, well, but, yeah.
Okay, that's what I'm
by
saying.
By a human.
Yeah.
Magic for dogs is just like pretending to throw the ball and not actually doing it.
That's basically magic, though.
It's true.
So this guy had a magic backpack. He pulled anything out of there. A bong. He pulled a bong out.
That's
he
funny.
Pulled condoms out.
I think this is just a regular backpack bike of some college student.
Yeah, what is special about pulling these out?
Well, it was he pulled a full, like a coffee thing full of coffee. It was like had brewed coffee in the backpack. Anyway,
oh.
He did goat yoga. Like he put a goat on his back and then he was floating in the air.
Oh,
what? What is magic? Is magic taking on some sort of like new wave?
Magic is crazy. Yeah, he tied some people's phones to a balloon and like synced it with the cloud.
What do you mean he synced it with the cloud?
Because it floated away. The balloons floated away.
Are you sure?
And then he's like, "Don't worry, I backed it up." Phone taped to his back.
What? He was a pun-making magician?
Very pun-making magician.
So, wait, was he cool or is he in like an outfit?
Both. He had several outfits, but he was also cool.
Both was your most Beyonce answer you've ever given.
My original instead of was going to be, if you were, instead of, you know, pulling a goat out of backpack or whatever, what would be your street magic? But then I was like, it's way too hard to ask you guys to just invent some new magic.
You don't know us very well, but go on.
Would you like to try?
Well, I do want to hear the other one. What's behind door number two? Or is this the magic act?
This is not the magic act. Door number two. There's only two doors.
I thought that was it. That was like the revelation. You open it up, it's just a sign that says there's only two doors. Fucking go open the first one.
So this guy will never reveal his secrets.
Magician's code.
What? Magician's code. What? What like inside thing will you never reveal? Like how the sausage is made, kind of thing.
So you want to know the thing
a la a magician and his secret. Hmm.
So you want to know something we know, but not like the details about it.
Something you would never tell, like, oh, Josh's classic eggs. We'll never know how he makes them.
Oh, I thought you were going to be like, Josh is involved in a criminal conspiracy, but like, I wouldn't tell you the details of it.
No. More along the egg recipe line. Or invent some new magic.
Hey. I have a couple magic tricks that I do as a 33-year-old man.
You have magic?
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
What do you mean you have a couple of magic tricks that you do?
Yeah, what?
I don't know. I know some card tricks.
Can you talk us through a card trick?
I can like pull all the spades out of a deck and they're like in random order and I can like make them in order and then the deck is also all shuffled and then like I can magically make it all in order.
You can organize a deck of cards in the amount of time that it takes to do a magic trick?
Yeah. Well, maybe I'll see if I can get it on video and I'll put it in show notes.
Ooh.
Yeah. Wait, that's an incredible talent. Are you good at filing things also? You would be great as like an old filer back in the day.
Oh, yeah. No, I can alphabetize like nobody's business.
Dude, if you were like a madman secretary, you would have crushed.
Yeah.
Mike, do you understand how hard it is to organize a deck of cards while he's talking to you about what's your throw off? How are you throwing people off?
Yeah, what's your misdirection?
Well, I'm not going to reveal my secret.
No,
do you consider yourself bound by the code? Like, are you a magician?
I'm like an amateur magician. Have you paid any online subscription fees?
No, I never have paid an online subscription fee.
Okay, fine. He can't tell. But come up with a new thing.
Yeah.
Now, since you clearly have the bug, Mike, can we just make this about giving Josh a great
please.
Act?
Let's.
Okay. So what else could I do? So I'm just like outright inventing a trick. I don't need to have like a way that I would pull it off. I don't need to know the inner workings of the trick. I just need to
No, yeah, see that was
No, no, hang okay. on, hang on. I think first of all, we're inventing a trick together for
sure.
you.
Three minds, yeah.
You know, don't underestimate that. Like that's why what's his name? Michael who is Alfred and also in The Prestige?
Angier.
Yeah. But like Michael
Caine. Michael Caine. Michael Caine. Michael Caine.
Right. Jesus. Okay. So okay. All I meant to say is that we have a Michael Caine on our side because there's three of us.
Yeah.
But we're all making a trick for you. But why don't we try to actually figure out some zany way? We don't actually have to do it. But if it's realistically okay. possible, even if we had $1 zillion, let's see how we would do this trick. What's the
okay.
trick?
Okay. The trick is a door frame that exists on stage. And when you open it, it looks like it's just an empty door frame. But what it actually is like a very high resolution screen that looks like it's just empty, but there's stuff hiding behind it, so you can make things appear out from behind it. I just invented a trick.
I see.
Hit me up, David Copperfield.
So just to make sure, TV behind the door, TV yeah. does all the work.
Yeah.
Have a very good screen. Yeah.
And so really, it's marvelous. You know, it's a hell of a screen, hell of a thing, I guess. But like the real trick here is impressing the audience with what you decide to show, right? So like,
yeah.
Do you have anything?
A seal.
Why would the okay?
A seal. So,
yeah.
A seal. Yeah.
So you open the. You say, ladies and gentlemen, a seal. You open.
No, I say, ladies and gentlemen, let's seal the deal.
Oh, yeah, because he's going for the punch. I don't know how this seals the deal, seeing a seal, but you open the door.
Seal is a lawyer.
Okay, so he's got a law degree.
No one else. No, he also has like a little rubber stamp with one of those red seals yeah. on it, and on the paper it says the deal.
Exactly. The seal seals the deal.
There's no way I could watch that Boom. In 2D and think to myself, there's a fucking seal in a suit there.
No, the seal would be real. The seal would be hidden behind this thing. So I would like open the door and be like, look, nothing there. I'd close the door, I'd go behind, and I'd escort the seal out.
Oh my God, this trick just got significantly harder, and now I love it. Because previously, I did not like the idea of just opening a door to a TV. But how did you get the seal there?
I borrowed him from the zoo.
No. Where was he?
I don't know. I keep him in like a little pen, like tank, like mini pool, like a kiddie pool.
So someone takes him out of the pool, unseen?
Yeah.
Are you appreciating how much work you have to do? Because like you don't sound like a serious magician.
Well, that's kind of my gimmick.
Your gimmick is that you don't care?
Yeah. But here's the thing. After he comes out, I open the door and I'm like, well, there's nobody else back here, right? And the audience is like, right, because we see right through, even though it's a screen. And then Seal, the artist, comes out and performs Kiss from a Rose to close out my set. Best magic show ever.
Boom.
Agreed, but what's...
Three kinds of seals.
No, no, no. What's the pun to introduce seal? You can't say there's nothing behind this, right? That's not a seal pun. What's your final seal pun?
My final seal pun?
You can also make it about Kiss from a Rose, as you mentioned.
Yeah. I would tell a story about how I was pessimistic before, and now I see the world through rose-colored glasses.
You need to remember these are the last words you're saying to the audience for the evening.
Thank you very much, everybody. Good night.
Okay. And then you open the door and Seal comes out, right?
Well, I can't open the door because he can't walk through the screen. So he's just got to awkwardly walk around the back.
I once again don't understand this trick. What do you mean he can't walk through the screen? How did the real Seal get there?
I and pulled then... him out. I went behind this closed door.
But like when you... Okay, okay. Hang on.
It's a very good screen. It's a very good
what
screen.
What you're telling me is that these people are, you're going to walk them out from around the back of the door and not yes. through the door, which would have been the trick. Are you fucking kidding? Anybody can walk out from behind anywhere. This is the least effort put into a trick ever. I'm almost upset that you bought this TV.
Like, okay, no. I figured it out. I figured out how to make it better. The screen is actually two separate screens and... Nope, it's one big screen. I can either open the door here. I'm even getting into some engineering of how this trick works.
It's a hatch. Look, we all figured out that you were going to
do that. No, it's not a hatch.
Okay?
It's not a hatch.
Or it's
not
a hatch. It's either goes down or it goes up.
It's not a fucking hatch.
No, it's one of the two.
It's not. When I turn the door handle clockwise, it leaves the screen behind so I can show the screen. When I turn it counterclockwise, it attaches to the inside of the door so that when I swing the door open, it opens with it.
That's pretty good. Okay, well done.
Ooh.
But let me ask you this. Have you painted the back of the screen to look like a door?
Dual-sided screen, just image displayed on the screen.
The back of the screen is showing the back of the door?
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know why this... always works out for you, but I'm very frustrated right now.
Yeah, I know. Damn it. It's a good trick.
Now, before I left, a friend of mine, Mike, you are familiar, and Josh, I believe you may have met her or not, but also a listener of the show, Megan. Hello, Megan.
Hello, Megan.
Hey, Megan.
She was in Seattle and helped me pack and actually had some really good box art. She drew in cartoon the journey. Ooh. I took. She's a talented artist. Who knew? But listen, she had a listener question, and it was a hell of a question. It came out of nowhere, because keep in mind, the person I just referred to drew a cartoon road on a box, like in the most whimsical way. Here's her question. Is it worse to get a first-degree burn or a third-degree burn because, you know, third-degree murders are better than first-degree murders? So that signifies, okay, none of us know the burn scale, right?
No, a third-degree burn is worse than a first-degree burn.
You're positive?
Yes. A sunburn is a first-degree burn.
A sunburn is a first-degree burn.
Yeah.
I've been first-degree burned right now.
You're sunburned right now?
I'm sunburned right now.
What's the scale if someone makes fun of you?
Wait, what do you mean?
No, that joke's lost like a burn.
Like you got burned.
Oh.
Like a sick burn versus...
apparently, no, it's right. I guess it doesn't register on the burn scale. So her question, I mean, I just... first of all, it's a pretty weird question to ask. Is it worse to get a first degree burn or a third degree burn and then compare murders, I thought. But like... So I think she's saying if third degree murders are better than first degree murders, are you?
They're better for you. Yeah. They're better like in terms of consequences if you are accused of them.
Right.
They're not really better if you got murdered. That part sucks.
To be fair, if you were the one that got murdered, all of them are probably equally bad.
Doesn't really matter the degree. Yeah.
Can someone explain to me what the degrees of murders are?
Third degree is, I think, manslaughter. It's like accidental murder. Second degree.
Something called manslaughter is third place, and it's accidental.
And second degree, I think, is intentional, but not with like a lot of forethought. Like, I got really mad at you, so I stabbed you.
Mm. Crime of passion.
Second degree murder is a crime of passion, okay?
I think so. I'm not a lawyer. This is like...
No, we've established that you are a lawyer. You have a white-collar crime name.
Any of our friends that got mad at us for our medical advice, this is their chance to...
I'm pretty sure this segment in general is about as dark as it gets on our show. So, like, people may swing the other way on it, but I do need to know what first-degree murder is versus the other two because I have a follow-up.
I think it's that it needs forethought. Like, it's either... planned or it is intentional without the passion, like, no, I am making the conscious decision in my right mind to murder you, I think.
Okay,
I don't know.
So now what you're telling me based on the sentence of, by the way, Megan, I have to change your question because no burns are good. Don't get burned. Burns are inflicted upon yourself sometimes. Just don't do it. But here's what I'm thinking. Josh, how can you possibly tell me that it doesn't make a difference if you're the one getting murdered? I'd much rather be murdered in a crime of passion.
I guess.
Really?
Think about the life you lived.
A crime of passion can just be like, hey, I'm such a huge fan of, I'm going to pick somebody that's already dead because I don't want to get on any list or anything. I'm such a big fan of Aretha Franklin that I'm going to.
Jeez, too soon. Dude, come on. What are you doing? Tinder.
I'm sorry. She was a great woman, and I respect
you
her.
You killed Aretha Franklin?
Okay, fine. Like, James Dean. I love James Dean so much, but I can't be with him. He can't be my boyfriend, so I'm going to kill him. Like, that's not a good way to go.
It's not a good way to go, but, like, wow. You know, like, I inspired that in you.
Must
like
be something of, about him. Yeah.
I'm kind of, like, curling my hair, if that's the situation.
See, I get like, that. I get that.
Jeez.
First degree, like, they have a minute to plan, so, like, it's not...
They only have a minute to plan?
It's not going to be so messy, you know? Well, they have a while. They have as long as they want.
A game show called First Degree Murder Minute. You only have 60 seconds to premeditate a murder.
Wait. And when you cross-examine someone, you're giving them the third degree.
Third degree, right?
No. Like, giving somebody the third degree is another phrase for, like, questioning somebody.
But isn't that third degree in reference to burns?
I don't think
so. Man, you're really grilling them. Is grilling a sandwich a third degree burn?
I think it's a third degree burn on the bread, yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Okay. So now, knowing all this that we've just talked about...
I don't know that we know any of this with any amount of certainty, by the way.
What do you mean we? All of our data points are coming from just you.
I know, which is why all of this should be taken with a grain of salt.
Walking back that privilege, huh? I used to know everything. But now that we've actually talked it through, maybe I don't know anything at all. Anyway, I'm just kidding. But you don't have a preferred way to... Let's forget we don't know the degrees. But, like, if you're going to go down, would you rather it intentional or accidental?
Probably accidental.
Both of you?
It depends. I don't know. Like, I wouldn't want it to be accidental in the sense that, like, somebody hits me with their car and it takes me a week to die. Like, make it quick. But if it's going to be quick, then probably accidental. Because if it's intentional, it's probably somebody that I know. And I don't want somebody I know to kill me.
No.
Oh, buddy, you're so much closer to that than you think. I'm kidding. I'm just saying you've made a lot of enemies. I don't know, man. I think it'd be funny. Without that, well, you can't say et tu, stranger. Like, it doesn't have the same meaning. You want to
look them in the face.
Yeah, I want to know. Like, oh, you motherfucker.
You want to know I affected you this much.
I have no idea if, and I'm pretty sure it was Bryce from when we went to high school together. I have no idea if Bryce listens to this, but we used to play a game in the 12th grade at Naperville North High School called Assassin, and it was a water gun battle across the entire school, and the entire point basically was the four or five people who organized this activity were just stealing from the rest of us and giving us a little bit of a game to play that no one would ever win.
Yeah, it sucked.
It's a daisy chain. So if I have Mike to assassinate and Mike has you, Josh, if I kill Mike, I have you. And killing him means squirting him with a water gun off of school grounds. Like, that was the rule, I think.
Okay.
Maybe I can't remember.
It was.
Okay. So, but the whole idea was that, like, you would squirt someone and then go up the chain, right? But, like, you got to see the person who got you, and then you had to tell them who was next. It was so much better than, like, if you just got a letter for who to get.
Tell them who was next. You're not able to do that if you're dead.
I think they ask you before they... No, that would be great. That game would be taken to a whole other level if they had to have you in a place where they have to get you to answer the question.
I'll never talk.
No. It was much more civil than that. But that game was awesome. And when here's what happened. I used to live in the apartments that were right next to the high school, and in between both those properties was this chain link fence that annually all of us would cut a hole through so we could walk through and go straight to school. It was very easy. And so I was coming out. The walk couldn't have been from my door to, like, being on school property more than 3 minutes maximum, mm-hmm. on like mm-hmm. a slow trot. And I turned the corner, and, like, there he was. And I'm like, oh, shit. So I had to run, like, around the apartment complex, go left and right. But eventually, he had me at the gate, right? It was my only entry point. And so, like, I watched as it happened, and, oh, man, it made it so much more meaningful.
From that gate to the pearly gates.
I suppose. I don't know why you felt it necessary to make a gate joke just now after the enthralling story I've just told. But, yeah, it was much better. So you guys would want accidents. Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah. So while we're talking about dying, though,
yeah,
I mean, if we're keeping it this lighthearted, like
we can actually make it more lighthearted.
Well, so that's kind of my point, that, like, death is such a morose topic and everybody gets so bummed out by it. So anyway, like, when I was little, when I was a kid, I had all these, like, themed birthday parties. Like, I had a Ninja Turtles one. I had one at Chuck E. Cheese.
And what, like, was the theme of that one?
I think it was just a Chuck E. Cheese
Chuck
party.
Chuck E. Cheese.
I don't know. I had a Super Mario Brothers one, I think.
Ooh.
Dude, cool. Who were you?
Well, it wasn't like a costume thing. It was just like the plates. It had Mario on them, too. I guess.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. Funerals all look the same. Every funeral is just, like, everybody wears black, and people cry, and there are flowers, and, like, you can look at the dead body or whatever. Mm-hmm. I would want, like, honestly, and I'm not saying this just for the podcast because I think it's funny. Like, I honestly want my funeral to be, like, a fun, uplifting thing. Like, I don't know. People are celebrating your life and, like, remembering all the good times and everything. I would love if my party had a theme and people were like, you know, I went to the best funeral last week.
Like a luau funeral kind of thing?
Yeah, like a luau, or make it like 80s
themed. Like a New Orleans funeral.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What would you guys want? I realize that I'm hijacking your instead of here. Like,
no,
what
no,
would
it's
you guys
fine.
Want?
It's actually perfect because Megan lives in New Orleans, so this maybe
perfect.
It's on her brain.
Yeah.
Okay.
What would we want as our theme? Like, we're throwing a joint funeral?
Well, I mean, individually.
No, come on.
Mike, what did we do? Give each other a third degree?
Dude, when you say it like that, it sounds like we died jerking each other off. I don't want to die like that. I don't even want to live like that. God. Okay, Mike, let's say
can
we
you
both...
imagine? Yeah. We died as we lived.
No. Hang on. Okay, let's say we're both in, like, in the same car as it drives off a cliff.
Okay. Thelma and Louise to the end.
Yeah. Who drove it?
I did, obviously.
Yeah. Okay, so
you
we have
pick
a joint
the theme
funeral.
since I killed us.
You're gonna hate my theme.
Okay, well then I'll take, how about this? I have an idea. I only get to reject something twice. If you feel strongly about it, we'll go with it.
Okay. My first theme is fantasy. So we got armor. We got all the people. They're all in, you know, all their shit.
Is it at medieval times?
Yes.
Okay, now maybe yes. I can get behind this.
Here we go.
Yes.
What if they recreate your death so instead of people thinking that you died in a car crash, they prop up...
Horse crash.
They prop up your body and like tape a javelin, a jousting thing to you, and somebody else jousts you off of your horse.
Yeah.
Wait, we get speared to death? Or our corpses get skewered.
Yeah. Our corpses joust.
He died doing what he loved.
Jousting.
Staying real dead on a horse while he jousted against another dead guy. It's all he ever wanted.
Yeah.
I was going to ask for something. Mike, can I add a twist? Well, not a twist, just something.
Well,
to, like,
yeah, sure.
A send-off. How about this? So I agree to all the terms. This is
the jousting thing? You're on board?
No, because that was Josh's idea, not yours. Oh, so that, okay. I reject that idea.
All right, sure.
But at the end, we'll have like two side-by-side like pyres, and Josh can fire off two flaming arrows, given how we died, from a bow, and they'll both hit our pyres, and we'll just be set ablaze.
I thought the same thing, actually. We need to, we'll burn on funeral pyres.
So, a question of etiquette and respect.
You don't know how to shoot two arrows, do you?
How disrespectful would it be if I missed like 45 times?
You can miss twice, since that's how these terms were decided. Then you have to give up the bow and arrow to someone more qualified.
Okay.
Whom you also have to hire.
Okay. I can hire an expert archer.
I would accept a Molotov cocktail if things get desperate.
Just throw a bottle of whiskey to explode on your boat?
It. Yeah.
You can do that on Mike's pyre. I would still very much like the bow and arrow. But if you don't have either available to you, please just do the same except with Diet Coke.
Oh, there we go.
A Diet Coke and Mentos, like, flame ball.
Just blow this guy in a giant cannon.
You know what I would love? I would love... this topic is, like, we've been talking about death for a while. I hope this hasn't made anyone too uncomfortable, but considering that I'm about to suggest that we shoot Mentos and Diet Coke through a ring of fire, I don't think anyone is taking this seriously. But I would like that, the ring of fire. They probably have one of those.
Okay.
California.
That's right. I was driving down Highway 1, and I had to make a decision, Mike, at the same place where you were in California.
Oh, yeah? The Redwoods?
The Redwoods. Do you know what the decision was? It's where the road bifurcates. One, I could follow my heart and go along the coast and see drive through foggy redwood trees, which was unbelievably beautiful, and I'll never regret it. Or two, I could have turned left and driven through a giant redwood tree, and I said no.
You didn't go through the tree?
Didn't go through the tree because I thought, you know what? One day I'll be back in these woods, and then I'll do that.
Okay, yeah. Well, what? Okay.
But I'm telling you this because I know you have strong feelings about my decision, even though you've just learned about it.
I can't believe you didn't drive through the tree.
See? Like, dude, I said I was going to drive down the one. I couldn't not drive down the one. I don't know why. No one is checking me on this.
Yeah.
I drove off the one many times. I can't turn around, man. I was on a schedule.
You're on a schedule.
That's true. You did drive for like 14 hours a day for like 5 days straight.
It was a warpath, man. I swear to God. I didn't even get to eat breakfast with my family at one point. I'm like, well, gotta go. And I just took off. I felt really bad, but they're very understanding people.
I'm disappointed.
Would you have done the tree?
I would have done the tree.
And not the foggy redwood forest?
This is a really hard question.
See? That's all I wanted you to admit.
Why can't you turn around, though? Why couldn't you just go drive through the tree and then double back, and now you're going through the tree twice, and you get to see the foggy redwoods?
It's a classic road not taken, eat your cake, and have it too situation.
Going through the tree twice would have destroyed what I was going for symbolically.
Yeah, it really would have.
I made my decision. I'm happy with it. All this to say, do you guys want to go see that thing? Apparently, you can drive a car under a tree.
No, because we've established that if we're in a car together, you're going to drive it off a cliff.
You're not in that car. Mike's in that car.
Yeah, because I'm bailing at the last second.
I don't know. It was a two-seater this whole time, Josh. I don't know how you made your way onto this cliffside death. Who's going to shoot the bow and arrow or hire the archer?
Me, because I bailed out.
Oh, right. You can be along for the ride.
You can use that parachute thing.
Is that third degree murder if Josh leaves us knowing we're going to die?
Oh.
No, I think I still need to inflict the death.
You would have. You could have. We were on the path to it.
Yeah.
You joined us on the path to it.
No,
you supported the path to death.
Murder by omission.
That's different. Like, I didn't actually commit the murder. Like, you would, if you had survived that that cliffside thing and Mike didn't, then you would have manslaughtered Mike.
No, I would have said, this is all Josh's fault. Go get Josh. He knew this was going to happen. He cut the brakes. Turns out white collar criminals can also put on blue collars from time to time. That was a really common thing for rich people to do in like the old spy movies when they were trying to kill someone, was cut the brakes. But how did they know how to do that? I don't know where the brakes are in my car.
Yeah, it seemed really easy.
Why would the brakes be two wires?
Thanks for listening. If you liked what you heard, then leave us a review on the podcast app you heard it on, or iTunes. Find us on Twitter at InsteadOfFM. Ask us questions. We will answer them. We don't have an email address. Go on our website, InsteadOf.FM. Listen there. And that's it. See you next week.
Yeah.
Where did you come up with hot chocolate for Dresser? What the fuck, man?
That's his genuine six star.
That was 100% real. That's his deepest desire.
Yeah. Oh my god.
What does Josh want most?
Hot chocolate.
So something that actually would be a six star if we were keeping that. I had bought a car back in like 2010 or something like that.
Cool.
And the dealership.
I've never bought a car.
Yeah. Mike is just like, oh, nice. High school. Yeah.
And so the first dealership that I was at was in Maine because I was visiting my girlfriend at the time up there. And the salesman was so nice and everything. And so I wanted to give him business. And I'm like, hey, how can I buy it from you? And he's like, well, you can't really sell it across state lines. I can only sell it to you in Massachusetts. So he drove the car from Maine to Massachusetts for me.
Whoa.
And then we signed the papers on my parents' kitchen table.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like a college recruiter.
Yeah,
something.
And then I drove him to the train station and he almost missed his train.
Holy shit.
You had a full out-of-dealership experience with your car dealer?
Yeah, it was amazing.
I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure I could be wrong. Him just doing that without any paperwork doesn't make it the same. You might have just illegally bought your car, dude.
No. We signed.
He drove it across state lines.
No. We signed the paperwork in Massachusetts.
Are you sure he took it back to the dealership, the paperwork? What if he stole that car?
I mean, that car has since been sold, so. Maybe somebody else has a stolen car now.
So six stars. I guess I have to ask, what was his name?
His name was Adam.
Oh, I can see that.
A six star Adam. Adamoral. A six star Adamoral.